good to be saved tonight. Thank you, preacher, for another opportunity to preach. I heard a story about an old man that retired, and he had retired and bought himself a Corvette. And he didn't have much going on, so he decided he was going to take a cruise. And he opened it up on the interstate going about 95 miles an hour, and all of a sudden he looks in the rear view and he sees blue lights. There's a state trooper behind him, and he says, "Well, I'm already doing 95, let me just outrun him." So he pushes it about 120, starts distancing himself from that cop. And all of a sudden he comes to his senses and says, "Man, what am I doing? 70 years old, running from the police?" So he pulls over, and the state trooper gets up behind him, and he gets out of his car, pulls him over. State trooper comes up to his car and says, "Sir, my shift ends in 15 minutes. If you can give me one good reason that I hadn't heard before as to why you were speeding like that, I'll let you go." And the old man said, "Well, officer, about 20 years ago, my wife ran off and left me with a state trooper, and I thought you was him bringing her back." Amen. 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 Well, I'm with Brother Barry. I'm ready for springtime. And I don't know about y'all. I don't want to sound like a Grinch or anything, but I'm happy that the holidays are over with. Amen. Me and my wife, a couple weeks ago, we finally took our Christmas decorations down, and it made me start to think, you know, how much stuff we put in our house. I mean, we're taking wreaths down. We're taking the Christmas trees down, all the lights, all the stockings, all that stuff. And I just started thinking, man, we put so much stuff in our house. So if God will help me tonight, I want to preach on, is He in your house? Amen. Amen. Is He in your house? Amen. Take your King James Bibles, if you would, please, and go to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2, if you got your place, say amen. Amen. Now, if y'all listen fast, I'll preach fast, amen. I do everything fast. I talk fast, I preach fast. I eat fast, I drive fast, but I sleep slow. Amen. Mark chapter number 2, I'm just going to read one verse. And starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house." Amen. And it was noised that he was in the house. Let's pray. Brother Lucas, you pray. Ask the Lord to help us. Yes.
I pray that you'd send the Holy Ghost conviction in this place. We'll give you the glory and the honor. It's in your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated. Amen. So when he's in your house, there's four things I want to give you tonight when he's in your house. Number one, I want to say when he is in your house, it's commonly known.
That's right.
Amen. It's commonly known.
That's right.
When he is in your house, it's clearly seen by others. Amen. It says that it was noise that he was in the house. Everybody knew it. It wasn't a secret that Jesus was in the house. And that's the same way with you and me. People know when he's in your house. Amen. People know when Jesus is in your house. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Amen. It's not a secret when you love the Lord. People ought to know it. Amen. And Jesus was in that house. You say, whose house was it? Who cares? Amen. Why? Because he was in the house. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, everything changes. And he's all that matters. Amen. And he was in the house. Have you ever been to somebody's house and you can just tell that Jesus has been in that house? And you think that's a good Christian home, amen? And you know it and you can feel it when you go inside the house. But there's other times where you go in somebody's house and you can tell that Jesus ain't been in there. Amen? And we can all act like Christians in the church house, but you know when you go to somebody's house if Jesus has been in there or not. Amen. And if there's gossip and there's lying and there's all these different types of things going on, Jesus ain't going to be in that house. Amen. Some of us will gossip and lie even in the church house.
Amen.
Amen. God help you. I wonder what you say inside your house. Amen. If you come in here and do that in the church. Amen. But Jesus ain't in a house that gossips. Jesus ain't in a house that tears other people down. Amen.
Amen.
But see, it was commonly known that he was in the house. Amen. I can remember being a child and asking my parents sometimes, "Hey, Mom and Dad, can I go spend the night at so-and-so's house?" And they'd say, "No, you can't. But they can come and spend the night at your house."
Amen.
You ever heard that? Why? Because my parents knew that Jesus wasn't in their house. Amen. But they knew that Jesus was in our house. And it's commonly known. Amen. You ever been inside a house and you can feel that there's something wrong in there? It's not the Holy Ghost. It's an unholy ghost. And you can sense it. You can feel it. Amen. Even as a kid, I could tell if I was in a Christian home or not. Amen. But see, the thing of it is with houses is we can make a house look good on the outside. Amen. But
But really, when you, what you know what's on the inside is you can't hide that. When you go in somebody's house and you can see what they've really got going on, you can make the outside look all nice and pretty. Amen? Amen. Can't we do the same thing? I put the suit and tie on, but I can be just as far as God as 10,000 miles. Amen. And then we can make the outside look good, but the inside's unclean. The inside's far from God. The inside's out of fellowship with God. Amen. Amen. Is he in your house? Amen. Amen. When he's in your house, it's commonly known. So you can fool the brethren, right? You can fool me. You can even fool pastor. But the Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can't fool him. Amen. And he knows when he's in your house. If I were to visit your house, would Jesus be in there? Or would I find a whole bunch of carnal, wicked stuff going on? Yeah. If pastor was to come to your house, would you have to do a big spring cleaning mission before he would come? They would put that up. Make sure that's not on the TV. We got to cover that magazine. We got to put these things up. Amen. We got to clean out the refrigerator. See, when he's in your house, it's commonly known. It was noise that he was in the house. See, I want it to be commonly known that Jesus is in my house. See, and just because you come to church, that doesn't mean that he's in your house. Amen. There's some people in the church I wouldn't trust some of y'all to cut my grass when I'm out of town. Amen. Just because you come to church don't mean he's in your house. Amen. See, there's some church people that can't wait for you to slip and fall. They can't wait for you to make a mistake. Amen. Because they want to cut your throat. And they'll pop out and they want to do that and they want to kick you when you're down. But the Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. See, I want it to be known that people can come to my house for spiritual help. We had a Bible study a couple weeks ago. Matthew was there with his girl and Lucas was there with his girl. And the number one thing we talked about that whole entire time was Jesus. Amen. Amen. We talked about the Bible. See, when people come to my house, I want it to be known that Jesus is in the house. There's nothing wrong with the sports and all that stuff, but this is what really matters. Is he in your house? Amen. Amen. Can people come to your house for help? If somebody was to make a mistake, would you be able to take them in? Would you be able to take their phone call? Would they be able to confide in you? Or would you kick them when they're down? Amen. If they were going through something, could they call you? Or would you just take what they say and spread it around? See, I can remember many, many years ago when I was a child that when we would be running low on sugar or be running low on flour, you could be able to go and borrow stuff from your neighbors. And I can remember my parents saying, go over there and borrow from the neighbors across the street, but don't go to the ones that live to the left of us. And I said, Mama, why couldn't I go over to them to the left of us? They said, son, they barely even have enough. They barely even have enough to keep the lights on. But how much Jesus do you got in your home? If somebody needed to borrow some, somebody needed to borrow a little bit of spiritual boost, could they come to you? Or you got just enough for yourself? Amen. Do your neighbors know that Jesus is in your house? Can people tell? Verse number one said it was noise that Jesus was in the house. I want to say, number one, when he's in your house, it's commonly known. Number two, I want to say when he's in your house, conviction is present. Look at verse number three. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? So we can see in verse number 6, they reasoned in their hearts. Verse number 8, they reasoned in their hearts. Conviction was present. Their hearts were under conviction. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, when Jesus was in the house, conviction was present. Amen. When Jesus is in your house, conviction is present. Why? Because he's holy. Amen. When Jesus is in your house, he shows you the condition of your heart. Yes, sir. Y'all ever been in an argument with your spouse? Anybody? Surely not. I mean, right? Y'all men ought to back me up. We see who wears the pants. Amen. My soul. I mean, you ever been in an argument and you know that you're wrong, but you take your spot like you're right, and you just keep it going, and then Jesus walks in that house and convicts you,
Amen.
And you say, you better say sorry, and you better make up.
Amen.
I mean, me and my wife, I mean, we've only been married a couple months, but we got in a fight so bad the other day, she came to me crawling on her knees, and then she said, get out from underneath that bed and fight like a man. And then I didn't see her for about a week, and then my right eye began to open back up. Amen. Amen. I was making sure y'all are listening. That's a joke. I love my wife. She's my princess.
Amen.
A little bit of truth in it, though. Amen. Uh-oh. I want to say, if Jesus is in your house, he'll clean your house up.
Amen.
You won't be able to talk to your wife any type of way. You won't be able to talk to your kids any type of way without conviction. Parents, let me ask you a question. When's the last time your kids saw you reading your Bible? When's the last time your kids saw you on your knees getting a hold of God? And let me say something to you teens. I'm for each and every one of you guys. I pray for you guys. I don't care what they say. I don't care what anybody said. I'm for you guys. I ain't against y'all. I've made mistakes. I've said stupid stuff, but I'm for y'all. You know why? Because I know what it's like to be in y'all's spot. I know what it's like to have temptations come at you. I know what it's like when your parents are telling you to do one thing and your flesh is telling you to do another. And there's people at your school that aren't wanting to do that. And there's people telling you go this way or go that way. I know what it's like to be in the spot you guys are in. But you guys just got to go with God. Amen. You got a good youth pastor. Stick in the Bible. Keep coming to church. Amen. God will see it through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When he's in your house, conviction is present. Amen. He's in your house, there ain't going to be no reality TV. There ain't going to be any movies. There's not going to be any pornography.
Amen.
There's not going to be any trashy any movies, any wicked music going on. Psalm 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. There ain't going to be no alcohol in your house if he's in the house. There ain't going to be no smoking in your house. I'm talking about smoking cigarettes, not even just pot. Child of God ought to be smoking cigarettes. Everybody bow up on that, but I don't care. Amen, I said it. You ought to be vaping. You ought to be smoking. Know you not that your body is the temple of God? Amen. That grieves the Holy Ghost of God, neighbor. He's not in the house when you're smoking. He's not in the house when you're drinking. He's not in the house when you're fornicating. He's not in the house when you're living with somebody that you're not married to. Amen. Is he in your house? Teens, is he in your room? Is he in your car? Last time you looked to see if Jesus was in your house, I can remember being a kid, and I had this weird, irrational fear that from my ages like 8 to 12, every time I came home, I thought somebody was in our house. Brother, I'd look everywhere, Brother Tony, like a ninja. I'm talking about I'm ripping the shower curtain open. I'm telling my mom and my dad and my brother, you guys stay right here. I gotta case this place out. I don't know, but especially even when I'd be home alone, I'd take a little butcher's knife, walk around the house. I'm talking about under the bed. I had to clear like SEAL Team 6, man. I had to check underneath the bed. I had to rip the shower curtain open, every single room, the coat rack, everything. Because I wanted to know if somebody was in that house. I'm talking about I'm coming over here. I'm saying, is there anything in here? I'm opening up this door, looking over here. Is there anything under here? No, we're good here. I gotta go over here. But hey, what about when's the last time we looked for Jesus like that?
Amen.
When's the last time we looked that hard to see if he was in your house?
Amen.
Would to God that we could get Jesus in our house. I'm not just talking about just a physical dwelling. I'm talking about in your heart. I'm talking about in your life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about looking to see if Jesus is in your house. Oftentimes we get caught up in the busyness of life that we just stick Jesus over here on a shelf. Amen. If only we searched that hard to make sure Jesus was in our house. And you may say, I don't know how to find him. I don't know how to find him. Let me tell you, bless God, that 16:11 right there, that's how you find him.
Amen.
Isaiah 34:16, but seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Hey, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Amen. You got to seek for him. Amen.
Amen.
Is he in your house? You know, when I wrote this sermon a couple weeks ago,
I wrote this sermon. The Lord gave it to me when I was reading my Bible. I wrote it down one night. You know, I got it all homiletically correct, you know, alliterated it. I wrote it down. I said, man, Lord, that's good. Put it on a nightstand and I went to sleep. Thought that was good. I was kind of bouncing around at the office the next day. 24 hours later, came back to the house. My wife was at volleyball practice. It was just me. Holy Ghost came knocking. Said, yeah, that was pretty good. But am I in your house, Sam? Broke me. Brother, it broke me. I went in every single room of that house and got on my hands and knees with tears, crying, just begging God, God, don't leave this house. God, I want you in this room. God, I want you in this room. Every single room, the bathrooms, the closets, everything. I know I can be stubborn. I know I can be rebellious, Lord, but don't leave this house. Don't leave me, Lord. I need you. I want to say, if you never feel any conviction, he's not in your house. Last week, me and my wife, we got tickets. Somebody gave us free tickets to the Tennessee-Texas basketball game. And I love basketball. I played for a little bit in college. But I hadn't been to a game in years. And, man, that stuff's like wicked. We left at halftime. I said, baby, I got way too much Holy Ghost to me to be in here. People behind us drinking, screaming, cussing, all for a bunch of grown men that are getting paid millions of dollars. But you know what happened? Conviction showed up.
Amen.
Conviction is present when he's in the house.
Amen.
When he's in the house, conviction is present. Is he in your house?
Yes.
Number three, I want to say, when he's in the house, circumstances change. Yes. Circumstances change.
Yes.
Let's pick it back up in verse number 9 here. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. Want to draw your attention to verse 11 and 12. And I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. When Jesus is in your house, friend, circumstances change. When he's in the house, there's help.
Amen.
Notice he says, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. See, Jesus was willing to help when nobody else was.
Yeah.
And that's the same way for us. See, that sick man, he finally surrendered. You know why? Because he realized he couldn't help himself.
Amen.
You say, what happened? It got bad enough.
That
he wanted his circumstances to change bad enough. Maybe that sick man of the palsy said, hey, I done tried everything on my own. I done tried the shots. I done tried the doctors. They done called me stuff in at Walgreens and CVS and so on and so forth, and nothing's working. What happened? It got bad enough. He said, I got to get to Jesus. I want my circumstances to change. It got bad enough. How bad's it got to get for you? How bad's it got to get before you'll get to Jesus? Your kids got to wreck their life before Jesus will get in your home. You got to go out and get a DUI, lose your job. How bad's it got to get? Just a little slip, just a little stopping reading your Bible, missing church a little bit. It can spiral into something where you can wreck your life. But see, that sick man realized he couldn't help himself. He surrendered and said, you know what? Pick me up. Take me to Jesus. He said, I'm all in. That's what we need to do. I can't help myself. You can't help yourself. We need Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to just surrender and say, hey, you know what? I done tried it in my flesh. I done tried to be a good boy. I done tried to do it this way. I'm getting to Jesus. Amen. He said, I'm all in. Take me to Jesus. But see, the thing with the Lord is he can't help until we surrender. He can't help when you're trying to micromanage him. You got to rip that Band-Aid off, friend.
Amen.
A couple years ago, I was trying to have one foot in, one foot out, and I was trying to live for God but still be cool with this crowd. Amen. But you can't juggle both. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways.
Amen.
Know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?
Yep.
You can't have it both ways. Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, we'll choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. You can't have it both ways. And my situation, my circumstances changed when I ripped that Band-Aid off and said, you know what, God? Whatever you want to do, I'm yours.
Amen.
I'm not going to have one foot in, one foot out. I'm going to rip that band-aid off. I'm surrendering all. I'm getting to Jesus. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to take me, Lord, I'm in with you.
Amen.
You know why? Because it got bad enough. How bad's it got to get for you?
Amen.
Before you finally let Jesus help and you let him in your house. Your circumstances haven't changed. Well, maybe you hadn't surrendered. Maybe you got that one little secret sin that you're keeping in your back pocket. You said, well, you know what, Lord? I'll give you all of this, but I ain't going to pray about this, even though you know it's wrong. And you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost is dealing with somebody. You got some little thing that you need to give up. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Hey, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Amen.
Circumstances change. There's help when Jesus is in the house. But not only that, look at verse number 12, there was healing.
Amen.
When he is in your house, there's healing. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed. That man was paralyzed and he was crippled and he needed his circumstances changed and Jesus healed him. If he's not in your house, you'll never heal.
Yeah.
You'll never get over them scars. You'll never get past those besetting sins. But when you get Jesus in your life, and when you get Jesus in your home, circumstances change. There's healing. If we don't get him in our house, we'll just stay paralyzed. Maybe you're paralyzed with fear. Maybe God's been telling you to do something. Maybe God's been telling you to step out and do something, but the devil's holding you back because of fear. But the Bible says, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen? Maybe you're crippled with fear. Maybe you're crippled with bitterness.
Amen.
Oh my. But see, you better get Jesus in your house before it's too late. Before it gets too bad and it gets too out of control. Amen.
Amen.
If he's not in your house, there'll never be healing. Look at verse number 12. And they were all amazed. We never saw it on this fashion. That sick man, not only did he get help, not only did he get healing, but he got hope. They were all amazed. That sick man now had hope. He was able to walk again. He had new life. He had purpose. The Bible says in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. You'll find purpose in Jesus Christ. You'll find hope in him. When he's in the house, everybody has hope. Notice it says they were all amazed. Not just the man that got healed, but everybody around him. You get Jesus in your house, there's hope for the whole family.
Amen.
I can remember when I first got hired at my job, they try to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff to see, when you're first out of college, to see, is this guy really going to stick or not? And you know, they give you the lovely job of, they take you on a private plane and they fly you out to the middle of nowhere to a bunch of trailers and a bunch of mobile homes, and you got to knock on people's door that are past due on their mortgages. And they tell you that you can't dress nice, right? Like, don't wear your work clothes. You got to wear like just a t-shirt and sweatpants and be kind of all incognito. And I'd have been in the middle of Louisiana in these super remote places, man. I'm talking about, I'm going to houses and there's no hope at these houses. I'm talking about the lights are shut off. I'm talking about in the middle of the swamp. I went up to somebody's door to knock on the door and the steps broke and just fell right through the steps. Completely hopeless. It was dark. Houses have been abandoned. These are vacant homes. But that's what it's like. That's a picture of what it's like when Jesus is not in your home.
Amen.
It's hopeless.
Amen.
If he's not in your house, it's dark. But hey, I want to tell you, we got a hope.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. Hey, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't he come today? Wouldn't that be a thing?
Yeah.
We can pause this little sermon and get up out of here. Amen.
Yeah.
Come, Jesus, come. We've got a hope, friend. You need hope, get Jesus in your house. Amen. He gave me hope. Amen.
Amen.
When he's in the house, circumstances change. Amen. And lastly, number 4, I just want to say, when he's in the house, you can't cry over spilled milk.
Amen.
Amen. When he's in the house, you'll get over what's in the past.
Amen.
I'd like to direct your attention to verse number 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, that's Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat, watch it, in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. How about that? I want to say, when he's in the house, you can't cry over spilled milk. When he's in the house, stories get rewritten. Well, glory. See, we see Matthew here. He was a crook. He was an he was working for the IRS. Amen. But hey, his story got rewritten. Jesus didn't leave him the way that he found him. Amen. Jesus rewrote his story. He went from being a tax collector to following Jesus. How about that? When Jesus is in your house, your story ain't over. He'll rewrite it. He'll see it through. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 15. The publicans and sinners, they followed him. They weren't stuck dwelling on their past. What about the Apostle Paul? He murdered Christians. He killed Christians, persecuted the church of God, and utterly wasted it.
Amen.
But then over there in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 13, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He didn't stay stuck on his past.
Amen.
Amen. God rewrote Paul's story. God rewrote Matthew's story. We see God rewrote the publican's story. Amen?
Amen.
But they didn't dwell on the past. They weren't crying about spilled milk. You remember when Jesus rewrote your story?
Amen.
Anybody with me? What about that? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Amen. He rewrote your story. Did he rewrite anybody's story in here? You remember your past and then how God brought you through that. Amen. God moved you forward from that. Amen. I remember when God rewrote my story. I remember when he called me to preach. And God called me to preach, bless God, not just because I can quote Scripture, not because he's given me gifts or abilities. That's not that. God called me to preach because God had to intervene in my life.
Amen.
Amen. If God didn't call me to preach, bless God, I probably wouldn't even be faithfully still coming to church.
Amen.
God had to intervene. God had to rewrite my story.
Amen.
I'm nothing special. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not even worthy to be able to stand up here and open this book, but God in his grace. Amen. He rewrote my story. He didn't leave me the way that he found me.
Amen.
Amen. So when God's in the house, stories get rewritten. Not only that, but sinners get rescued. Look at verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
See, when Jesus is in your house, neighbor, you're not worried about what somebody else has done. You're not worried about the mistakes other people make.
Amen.
Why? Because he's in your house. Amen?
Yeah.
But see, what it is what we like to do is we like to forget about those skeletons that we've got in our closet. Oh, well, that was just 20 or 30 years ago. Like it's got some sort of statute of limitations when it comes to your sin.
Yeah.
Hmm? Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'd never do that, or I'd never say something like that, but you gossip. Huh?
Amen.
I might never fall down drunk, or I might never commit adultery, but you do this or you do that. You don't know what you would do, friend. 1 Kings 20:11, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Amen.
Notice how he says, I came to call not the righteous but sinners.
Glory.
See, sinners get rescued.
Amen.
The self-righteous people get destroyed.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 7:16, be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. For why shouldest thou destroy thyself?
Amen.
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 Now, we've got no reason to cry over spilled milk. I want to direct your attention as I'm kind of coming to a close. Now, I say that, I kind of circle the runway a couple times and come through a crash landing. Amen. Verse 18. Look at what the Pharisees say. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not. See, that why right there, that little why, that'll mess you up. You get stuck on why. God, why did this happen? God, why'd you let that happen? God, why'd you take so-and-so from me? Or God, I'm serving you, but why is this wicked person getting blessed? They were worried about, they were crying over spilled milk. Amen. Why aren't your disciples fasting? Who cares? Amen. That's something that's in the past. Amen.
Amen.
God, why did this happen? Why did that happen? I've been there. And see, a couple weeks ago, I was angry over spilled milk. Every time God ever gives me a message, he deals with me first. I'm not. It's not big me, little you up here. It's not me versus you guys. I'm right there with you.
Amen.
And I was angry. I was angry over spilled milk. I was ready to knock somebody's head off their shoulders. Bless God. But then guess what? I remembered how good God's been to me.
Amen.
And I remember the grace that he showed me.
Yeah.
And I remember how I should be in hell right now. Amen. But God came to me and he saved my soul. Amen. And I didn't deserve a bit of that. Amen. You know what we ought to do is we ought to stop crying and pouting and just spend time with Jesus. Just enjoy the goodness of Jesus. Get Jesus in your house and everything else will take care of itself. Friend, I want Jesus in my car. I want Jesus in my office. I want him in my heart. I want him in my head. I want him in my house. I want him in every single aspect of my life. Amen. He's been so good to me. I've got no complaints. But see, some of us were saved so long ago, you forgot what Jesus did for you. I don't want to get over it. I don't want to get over it, Pastor.
Amen.
I don't want to get over what he did for me.
Amen.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
He became the very thing that God hated. The Bible says in Habakkuk 1:13, thou art of pure eyes and canst not look upon iniquity. God couldn't even look upon his son. He had to turn his face away. When Jesus said it is finished, amen, he became sin for us who knew no sin. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to get over that.
That's right.
It's a big deal. I got passed from death unto life.
Amen.
John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. I got passed from death unto life, Brother Lucas.
Amen.
Amen. That's a big deal.
Amen.
I got quickened. I got spiritually made alive.
Amen.
Yeah. Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy, hey, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Amen. I don't want to get over that. I don't want to cry over spilled milk. Amen. I'm coming to a close here. If you haven't heard anything, here's the invitation. I'll give you one illustration and I'll be done. I have a German short-haired pointer, cutest dog you've ever seen. But he's crazy. Imagine that. And I can remember when he was a puppy a couple years ago. And I couldn't leave him out in the house because he'd chew everything up. So I had to put him in a crate. And I'd put him in a crate, lock him up, and then I'd go do my own thing. And I can just remember as I was looking out, I'd try to feed him a little treat, you know, drop it in the crate. He wouldn't even eat it. Those puppy dog eyes staring at me. Bro, it was heartbreaking. You know why? He just wanted to come with me. Don't we do the same thing to Jesus? You ever done that to him? Do you take Jesus with you after church? Or do we leave him here and go do our own thing? Does Jesus make it back to your house? See, what we have a tendency to do is we like to lock doors. We like to lock rooms and we like to shut Jesus out. Keep parts of our life separate, hidden from Jesus. Pick him back up out there in the foyer on Sunday. Why don't you make today the day to say, hey, I'm not locking any doors. I'm not locking Jesus out. I'm done putting Jesus in a box. I'm unlocking all the doors. Jesus is going to go with me in every single aspect of my life. I'm going to be a Christian when I'm out of this place. I'm going to witness. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to treat Jesus like a stray dog. I'm not going to have this area closed off to Jesus. I'm unlocking all the doors. Jesus is going with me in every aspect of my life. Amen. I'm letting him in every aspect. I'm not treating him like that stray dog. I want Jesus in my house. Amen.
Amen.
Take him with you everywhere you go. Do we want Jesus in every aspect of our life or just 1 hour at church? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for another opportunity to preach. Jesus, I love you, Lord. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Lord God, I don't deserve you. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that saved my soul, Lord. I thank you for everything that you've ever done. I thank you for every person in this room, Lord. Every person that'll hear this message, Lord, that'll hear it later, Lord. I pray that you convict hearts, Lord, and we could take an inventory of ourselves, Lord, and we'd stop playing church. We'd stop the facades, Lord, and we'd get real. And we'd realize that we want Jesus in our house. We want Jesus in our heart. We want him in every aspect of our life, Lord. I pray that you'd move in this house, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to love you more. It's all about you, Jesus. You're the greatest that there ever was. We hope you come back soon, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen.